I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Mitch, you gotta talk about it.
Good morning, Cougar Tracks podcast here on KSLSports.com, KSL News Radio. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board of the podcast once again. It's a special Media Day edition recap here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, back in the saddle, as the 2021 football season, to me, is pretty much ready to go. I know the summer is upon us, but in my mind, in my world, BYU football is upon us, and that's a great thing as we ramp things up to the buildup of the 2021 football season as BYU kicks it off on September 4th against the Arizona Wildcats in the Death Star Allegiant Stadium against the Wildcats down in Las Vegas. You can connect with me any way you really on social media, Twitter, @Mitch_Harper, @KSLSports, Instagram, KSL Sports CSS BYU, Facebook on KSL Sports, anywhere and everywhere on the social mediums, I'm available so you can get at me in that way. Again, the show today is recapping BYU Football Media Day, some of my observations, some personnel notes, depth chart breakdown, commentary from Kalani Sitake, and also maybe conference realignment for BYU at least. We'll discuss all of that and a whole lot more. The scene at BYU Media Day, as we start things off there, it was great, first off, to be back in person, in Provo, seeing the faces face-to-face. It was so fantastic to be there, you know, because for those of you that don't realize, with the media the past year, it's been all on Zoom. Ever since March 12th, it's pretty much been Zoom call after Zoom call with BYU personnel, and been very grateful for that because could have easily just been completely shut down. So Zoom was better than nothing, but talking to people face to face, it's just a different level of conversation, and just it felt great to be there. So big shout out to Brett Pine, Duff Tittle, the BYU communications team for all of their support and letting this happen. I had to show my vaccine card when I showed up, and, you know, BYU has that right as a private institution to do so, but I'm happy to do it because I want to get back to normal and covering things on the ground, on location, and talking to these people and players and coaches face-to-face. We finally got that experience once again at BYU Football Media Day. So it was really fun. I was there with Matt Biamonte. We had a KSL News Radio tent. Got a lot of interviews. So coming up here over the next, you know, days and weeks, we'll have a lot of interviews rolled out that I know you Cougar fans are really going to enjoy. And coming up on Saturday, we'll have Kalani Sitake, James Empey, and Isaac Rex on the program. So don't miss that from noon to 3 on KSL News Radio. But the big stories from Media Day, of course, centered around a few of the storylines that were discussed in the state of the program addressed by Tom Homo and Kalani Sitake. And the biggest one was probably the name, image, likeness program that goes beyond just simply NIL. It's also nonprofits and helping out the community, and that's the Built for Life program. And I got to say, BYU doing a great job on this. And I've always felt, and I've talked about this here on the podcast before, that the economic success of Utah County, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and state of Utah in general, I always felt was a valuable piece to potentially recruiting guys to BYU. And honestly, I know that 17 and 18-year-olds probably not thinking about local economies when it comes to college football recruiting. Like, let's not get it twisted here. I know it's a nice selling point to folks in the media for us to talk about it in our echo chambers, like, yeah, the economy in Utah County is top-notch, and this is going to help bring inroads to recruiting. No, it's not. It's not going to get BYU suddenly in the mix for 4 and 5 stars on a consistent basis. So let's just throw that out the window right now. But what I think it will help is that there's a lot of opportunities at BYU in regards to NIL, in regards to helping out your communities, and if those are things that matter to these recruits out there, BYU is going to be top-notch, kind of a gold standard in college athletics when it comes to that. And, you know, as fans out there listening, you know that there's so much coverage, too, of BYU athletics. There's mediums like this one here at KSL, the legacy home of the Cougars. You know, obviously BYU, BYU TV, all of that. There's so many different platforms for these guys and these women with student athletes to really achieve whatever it is they want out of the BYU experience. And I think that's pretty cool. And the fact that athletic director Tom Homo and Kalani Sitake went into this and made sure to make this happen, I thought it was a great thing. And the type of people that are involved, you're talking about the Silicon Slopes, the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce. These are big-time individuals when it comes to the business sector, and they're partnered up with Built for Life. So I think this is a fantastic deal that's happening down at BYU, and tip of the cap to all of them. But one thing I will say, though, about Built for Life that maybe ties into the football program on the field and going forward is just simply Kalani Sitake, he's your head coach of the BYU program for the foreseeable future. He feels comfortable, I think, in his job now. You know, 2 years ago, is he carving out the time to cobble up a name, image, likeness program? Probably not, because BYU was coming off 4-9 and 7-6 seasons. When you're coming off an 11-1 campaign and you had 5 players selected in the NFL draft, you have a little bit more leeway to carve out some time to form an NIL program. Kalani's becoming more and more the CEO of the BYU football program, and I think that this is another testament of that. You know, BYU, there's a lot of conversation about NIL, transfer portal, this and that, guys wanting to leave at the first chance. I don't get that vibe from BYU's program and the players that are in it. They genuinely love playing for Kalani Sitake. Now, there's always going to be some cases of guys entering the portal, but you can make an argument some of those cases are a byproduct of maybe difficult conversations that BYU staff has had with players. Each scholarship at BYU is a year-by-year deal. It's not guaranteed like in the Pac-12 where it's a guaranteed 4-year deal. You know, I had a conversation with Ed Lamb a couple weeks ago leading up to Media Day, and he mentioned the transfer portal has given BYU the chance to have those difficult conversations. Now, no one's looking to shove individuals out, but when you're talking about a scholarship crunch and when you're talking about, you know, there's not going to be endless amounts of spots for everyone, it means that you got a program that's got a bunch of guys that want to be part of it, and those conversations will have to come up in the transfer portal can maybe make those things happen. But again, the Built for Life program is another example that Kalani Sitake has a firm grip on the head coach role, and he's got administration that believes in him. They see his vision. They want to execute his vision, and Kalani Sitake is the leader of that BYU football program. Another big storyline from BYU Football Media Day, as we break it down here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. The college football playoff, 12-team playoff. We went extensively on this conversation on Cougar Sports Saturday, and to me, it's tough because I'm torn when it comes to this new era of the playoff. I feel like independence is the perfect fit for BYU football. I've always said that. I've told you guys many a times here on this podcast that independence is the perfect fit for the Cougar football program. They're their own entity. BYU is so unique. They do things in a different manner than anyone else really in college athletics. And that's the beauty of BYU sports. I think that's why BYU is successful, is because they recruit to their unique factors and they get athletes that want to represent the BYU brand and what it stands for in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But at the same time, this college football playoff with a 12-team deal makes me wonder, does BYU need to, you know, kick the tires on looking at going to a Group of Five league? The Power Five, I think, is definitely the goal, no question. To me, the only league that's possible for BYU is the Pac-12. I've given up hope on the Big 12. Have you? I mean, because I have. That is long gone. If it wasn't going to happen in 2016, it's never going to happen with the Big 12. Like, how many times do you have BYU just out there on a silver platter and you still don't take them? 96, 2011, 2016. No, I'm not buying into the Big 12 ever picking BYU. Pac-12, maybe. I know it's gotten a lot more progressive, but I think BYU has two. I think BYU's evolved in some of their ideologies and the way they go about themselves as an institution. Yes, it's not the research entity, but we all know that BYU's on-field product would add a ton of value to Pac-12 institutions in that conference and also at the gate. Like, let's keep that in mind. BYU shows up to USC. They show up to the Rose Bowl. 20,000 BYU football fans are going to be there, guaranteed every single year. It's just how it goes. But with all that said, Power Five is going to be difficult to attain. Group of Five, potentially. Tom Holmoe weighed in on re-examining independence potentially with the new proposed 12-team playoff. This is what he had to say.
One of the things that we do every year is examine where we are, where we've been, and where we're going. So right now, in light of that news, it would be our responsibility to make sure that we see what the environment looks like out there, what the atmosphere is like, see what other people are talking about. There's a lot of stuff that's behind the scenes that doesn't get out. You try to jump into that as much as you can. But if a decision is made, then we will have gone all the way up through our president and all the way up to Salt Lake.
It's a bummer to me that BYU doesn't have a voice when it comes to the college football playoff conversations. Like, it's frustrating. Like, Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, he's involved in the decision process. He was part of the committee that examined this the past 2 years. Like, it'd be nice if BYU could just have a voice, not necessarily a vote per se, but just some voice at the table. Like, Tom Holmoe, unfortunately, has to kind of follow things like we do. You know, things are continuing to evolve with the playoff that it's moving in that 12-team direction. But we see from the Pac-12 conference, Larry Scott, one of his final parting shots, is saying that the autonomous five leagues, a.k.a. the Power Five leagues, should get all automatic bids. Talk about insecurity galore. You know, the Pac-12, that to me screams, we're worried that a Group of Five league is going to beat us out in the rankings. We're worried that we got a bunch of 8-4 teams every single year. They're going to probably win the title and not contend for one of those top six spots in the playoff. If that happened, that would not be good. And BYU would probably need to go to a Group of Five league. But if it stays at this top six conference champions, six at large, there's maybe a little bit more access for the independents. But I think one of the concerns that I have when it comes to independence is scheduling going forward. That'll be very interesting. Even Brett McMurphy talked about that on our podcast, Cougar Sports Saturday, the radio show last week. And he noted that it's going to be hard maybe because what's going to be the incentive for these Power Five teams to want to make a hard road trip to Provo or schedule a tough BYU team to come to their venue? Because as we know, the committee doesn't value BYU as a great brand. Like, oh, you beat BYU. Great win. Like, do they view BYU in that way? I don't think they do. So it's going to be tricky. And that's why AAC would be fantastic. To me, the AAC is the only option because remember, the Mountain West Conference, they're no longer affiliated with ESPN. They're all with CBS Sports now. So to me, it's AAC or bust, or you go independent still. that's kind of the if you're going to go to a league, it's the AAC to me. Pac-12 is the pipe dream, but AAC more realistic. But who knows if they want to add BYU, because then it's another program that makes it a more difficult path. If you could get BYU and Boise State to go to the AAC, I think that would be pretty nice. Let's take a break. Real quick, on the other side, we'll get to more some of my quarterback battle thoughts, personnel notes, and depth chart analysis from BYU Football Media Day. This is Cougar Tracks here on KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back in to Cougar Tracks Podcast here on KSLSports.com. And anyone that knows me, you know I love a good depth chart. I love the depth charts. I love the personnel conversation. It's a thing of beauty. I love it. Love every second of it. And BYU released their first post-spring depth chart. And as expected, the quarterback position was listed with a bunch of ors. Jaren Hall or Baylor Romney or Jacob Conover. No surprise there. Some other positions that kind of caught my eye a little bit. Running back, Tyler Allgeier or Lopini Katoa. But to me, it's Tyler Allgeier. He's your number one back. But another name that was added to the running back room was Miles Davis. And Davis, to me, is one of the potential breakout stars, I think, this season. Even though it's a busy backfield, Miles Davis is going to be really good for BYU this year. You watch. He's going to be one of the more improved players. And I think he could be the number two guy next season behind Tyler Allgeier if Lopini Katoa moves on, because this could be Lopini's senior year. Miles Davis is going to be a stud player for BYU. You watch. He's going to be a fantastic player. Wide receiver. You know, everyone instantly said, where's the Nakuas? It's a post-spring depth chart. Puka and Samson were not part of the spring depth chart, but rest assured, those guys are going to be involved. They're going to be number one guys. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is I asked Gunnar Romney at Media Day, how do you respond to Puka and Samson joining the program? Is it met with, what the heck? Like, was I not good enough? Are you thinking, like, why was this needed? Or do you embrace it? It was the latter for him. He embraced it because he wants to have the competition, one, and two, it just helps the program. This is a culture, I think, at BYU that everyone's embracing this every single day. You got to win your job and the competition that comes with it. BYU has desperately needed competitive depth in this program, and they're starting to add it, and you can see it position by position in the program on this post-spring depth chart. You know, some of the other notables from this depth chart is the defensive names, Frodo. It's a filled position spot. You know, there's the boundary position and filled and all that. So that's why Frodo is brought up as a name. And the Frodo position is going to be played right now, according to the depth chart, by Ben Bywater or Drew Jensen. So some talented linebackers there for BYU at the Frodo spot. But you got the Jack, the Flash, Mike, Rover, Cinco, Nickel, Dime, Joker. A lot of talented guys on the BYU depth chart. But really, there's not much to take from it. It's just a starting point. I think fall camp, clearly, you're going to see a lot of differences on the depth chart going into that Arizona game. But as we break down some of the personnel notes from Media Day that I obtained, talking with a bunch of players and coaches, you know, Aaron Roderick had a lot of conversations with media members, and he brought this up to a few folks. But, you know, only 20 teams on average go throughout an entire season with just one starting quarterback. And the quarterback conversation was a huge talking point, but that is something notable to keep in mind. You can't just assume that one guy is going to go wire to wire in a given season. It's just, you better have two or three guys ready, and I think BYU definitely has three worthy starters in the program. Jacob Conover was impressive to talk to. Baylor Romney, same, and Jaren Hall, very impressive. Jaren Hall, to me, was very confident. And he kind of came off as a guy, the way he spoke, sounded to me like he feels like he's the starting quarterback. I think he definitely believes that. He's got to execute and win that job. But I feel like he's decisively the leader going into fall camp. I struggle to picture a scenario where it's not him, unless he suffers an injury or is just a complete disaster in fall camp. It's Jaren Hall, and he's not going to be unprepared going into fall camp. The guy's working with John Beck now. He's down at 3D QB. He's working in California. He's doing the Zach Wilson thing. He's talking to the Rex family. He's doing all that stuff. That's Jaren Hall now. So he's following in the footsteps of Zach Wilson, but he's also blazing his own trail. And Jaren Hall, to me, I was watching that Utah State game from 2019 a few nights ago. Man, I forgot some of the little tidbits from that game and how impressive that performance was. Like, I forgot the Asupka fumble near the goal line. That would have been another touchdown for BYU. I forgot his touchdown pass in the back of the end zone to Matt Bushman that officials said, oh, Utah State called a timeout. Next play, Jaren Hall gets hurt. Imagine this. If Jaren Hall rolls through in the second half and puts up that dominant performance like Baylor Romney did in the second, crushes Utah State, and then the following week he wins against Liberty, does BYU just kind of throw in the towel on Jaren and just instantly go back to Zach Wilson? I don't know, because remember at that point going to that Utah State game, BYU was 103rd nationally in scoring offense. 103rd, and then in comes Jaren Hall. He lights it up in the first half, and then Baylor Romney finished the rest in the second half. And Baylor Romney was on a bum foot, too. And that's why I think it made it a little bit easier to go back to Zach Wilson, because Baylor wasn't fully healthy either. Had Jaren been completely healthy after that Utah State game and played against Liberty, it's an interesting thought. It really is. But Jaren Hall is a talented football player, and some of the plays that he was making in that game were truly spectacular. The type of pinpoint accuracy we saw from Zach Wilson this past season. And Jaren, I think, deserves that chance to be the first guy. I really do. And it was interesting, too. I was talking to him about the Built for Life program and name, image, likeness, and he said it definitely crosses his mind about the opportunities that maybe he can make some money. Because remember, he's a married man. He's going to have a baby coming up before the football season. So absolutely, as a married father, you want to make some extra coin. And to be the starting quarterback at BYU, start your own camp, start your own vlog, start your own Instagram, whatever it is you want to do. You can make some coin now, potentially, when name, image, likeness comes to fruition eventually with the NCAA. But I came away very impressed with Jaren Hall. The way, the confidence, the command that he had in his conversations, he was very good, really good, impressive. And I was impressed with Baylor Romney and Conover, too, but I just feel like Jaren Hall is the right pick for BYU to start things off in week one. To me, Jacob Conover still has the highest potential, highest ceiling. I think he's the guy that has the biggest upside in the program. I mean, the way he talks, he sounds like a future coach. He really does. But I think with Conover, he loves BYU so much. It's not one of those deals where when you get a hotshot quarterback recruit and you're like, if I don't play him, I'm going to lose him. I don't get that vibe from Conover. Like, the guy loves being at BYU. He loves the experience and what BYU as a school, as an institution, represents. It was his dream since he was in third grade to be a BYU football player. He's living his dream. I think all these guys love being at BYU. As crazy as it sounds, I could see a scenario where all three guys stay at BYU despite not winning the job, two of them. I just think they all like BYU. Maybe I'm naive, but I could see that happening. Quarterback's in good spot for BYU. I believe that wholeheartedly. Some other tidbits on the personnel side of things for BYU football. Because you know me. You know, something about me, I love asking some of the in-depth personnel questions. I think only me and maybe a few other guys, Criddle, we're like probably the only people that ask the deep cuts, okay? But you gotta know about the whole 123-man rush, and I know you Cougar Nation out there, you appreciate that as well. Staying with the quarterback room, BYU is gonna only have, as of right now, four quarterbacks in that room this fall. And I think that's kind of noteworthy because keep in mind, BYU just 4 years ago in 2017, they played four QBs. So your four quarterbacks are Jaren Hall, Baylor Romney, Jacob Conover, and Soljay Maiava-Peters. Gone is Rhett Riley, who BYU would love to have back. He's currently in the transfer portal, according to Aaron Roderick. And also Jake Jensen, he's going to a junior college football program. He was a preferred walk-on from Pleasant Grove. He's moving on to JUCO ball to kind of bet on himself in a way. Go to JUCO, see if he can tear it up, and then maybe parlay that into a D1 scholarship offer, because Jaron Hall and Romney and Conover, they're all young. They're all either sophomores or true freshmen, and the timeline for their careers. Pretty remarkable, really, because Hall and Romney, they're heading into their fourth football season, but they're still young in terms of the timeline with how much playing career they have left in them. So only four quarterbacks, so it's possible that Aaron Roderick adds another QB. He told me that they're always keeping an eye out, whether it be transfer portal, whether it be high school, JUCO, whatever it may be, they're keeping their eyes peeled for another quarterback potentially. So something to monitor between now and fall camp. The offensive line position, I think, is in good hands. James Empey is going to lead the offensive line group. But some personnel that I think help round out the depth. Keanu Saliapaga, his status is to be determined right now, according to Aaron Roderick, heading into fall camp in regards to his health. Saliapaga has battled a ton of injuries, so that's something to keep in mind. Hank Tuipulotu, speaking of injuries, he's on pace to likely medically retire as a tight end. And what a bummer, too, because in 2019, Hank Tuipulotu was the second tight end behind Matt Bushman. You talk about the 12 personnel that was going to be Isaac Rex and Bushman last year. That was going to be Bushman and Hank Tuipulotu in 2019. Tuipulotu suffered a second consecutive ACL injury that year, and it just derailed his whole career. It really did, and it's such a bummer. I mean, dude's a smart guy, brilliant individual, married man. So he's going to be moving on and medically retiring. So something to keep an eye on there. That was from Steve Clark in an interview I had with him. Also, Bentley Hanshaw and Dallin Holker staying with the tight ends. Two of the players who have made the biggest leaps forward with their bodies in the strength and conditioning room, that per Steve Clark. So Bentley Hanshaw is someone we don't talk about very often, but he is a legacy kid. His dad was Tim Hanshaw. He's a big-time prospect, I feel. To me, he would have been a higher-rated recruit had he not just been so loyal to BYU. It's kind of one of those deals, three-star kid. Probably could have been a four-star, maybe, had he played out the recruiting process, but he loved BYU. Hanshaw's a name to keep an eye on. Dallin Holker, he's going to be big-time, folks. Usually you look at return missionaries and think anymore, yeah, they're going to sit out and not play. Well, Dallin Holker, he will definitely play. Isaac Rex and Dallin Holker, line it up, 12 personnel, those dudes are going to be studs. That could be, in my opinion, one of the best tight end tandems in BYU history when it's all said and done. And that's what's fascinating about this BYU roster. Look, I follow BYU football extensively. I've followed the program for a quarter century now, 25 years. I've been watching BYU football. I don't get caught up in the moment with saying could be the best ever, but when you see the talent, it's staring down at you. You got to acknowledge it. And things got to go their way. They got to stay healthy. If these dudes stay healthy, the sky is the limit for Isaac Rex and Dallin Holker. Feel 100% confident in that. Those guys are going to be special. Tyler Allgeier was compared by Harvey Unga as a running back version of Zach Wilson in the way he works. It's pretty notable. I think anytime you get compared to your own version of Zach Wilson, that's high praise. Linebacker position. Talked with Kevin Kloon, the linebacker coach for BYU, and he had some high praise for Tavita Gagnier, a former Weber State guy, Stansbury Park individual. He heard some high praise from Kevin Kloon and could be someone that is in the two deep and seeing a lot of snaps this season, because we know BYU as a defense, they're going to play a lot of dudes, especially at that those linebacker positions. So Tavita Gagnier, a guy to keep an eye on. George Udo, Folau Rapati, a.k.a. Hinkley Rapati, Jackson McChesney, Chaz Au, all expect to be ready for the start of fall camp per Kalani Sitake in my conversation with him. No word on Micah Harper just yet. He was seen by Matt Biamonte at BYU Summer Cub Camp running around with some of the campers. But positive news in the front of Udo, McChesney, IU, and Rapati. Kalani was knocking on wood. Keep that in mind. You know, you always want to just take it, don't want to take it for granted, but something to, of note there. I also asked Kalani about some missing personnel that were scholarship guys, Salofa Funa and Elijah Unatoa. He did not comment on their statuses, however, did not confirm that they're on the team either. So don't expect to see Salofa Funa, Elijah Unatoa on the program. I mean, they could potentially come back, likely in the portal, but Salofa Funa, Elijah Unatoa, from what I gathered, reading between the lines, Kalani did not comment on their status. So read between the lines on that what you will with Funa and Unatoa. And Elijah Unatoa was a pretty big recruit, three-star kid, 2019 recruiting class. That's kind of a noteworthy loss a little bit, losing him potentially in regards to Elijah Unatoa. He was not part of spring ball either, so keep that in mind with him. That's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. And also, download the KSL Sports app, sponsored by University Federal Credit Union. I'll see you tomorrow on Saturday with Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. And also check out the Cougar Tracks podcast once again. I'll be back on Monday discussing all the latest in the world of BYU football. This has been the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.